The children can make their way down to children's church down in the basement, and it's time to greet one another this morning.
Down. All right. Countdown hits zero. I guess that means I have to stop talking. So, dang it. dang it.
You take over the show,
PJ. All right. Hey, if you could pull up the slide with the QR code for our event today. So if you're new here, whip out your phone and point your camera at that. That'll take you to the events page in the YouVersion Bible app, and that'll get you all the scripture and the notes for the day that you need, and it'll also get you access to the Bible app, which is awesome. It's an amazing thing, and you'll be able to read the Bible throughout the week and engage through God's Word throughout the week. So as you're doing that, I got to ask you a question. When have you ever batted way out of your league? Yeah, come on. I'm not the only one. Like, batted way out of your league, like, messed with something way above your pay grade that you shouldn't have even been thinking about it. And all the husbands in the room said amen, right? Yes. There we go. Response. Okay. So, batting way out of your league, right? Maybe you did shoot your shot and ask somebody crazy out on a date, and it worked, right? Or maybe another example is you applied for a crazy job position or promotion and you actually got it, not thinking you would get it. Or maybe you put a super low offer in on something that you wanted to buy and you got it. I don't know. I got to tell you a story of when I batted way out of my league. And it was pretty cool. So my personality, I've told you a lot, I like to achieve things, right? I like to get after it. I like to go accomplish things. I like to be known for something. I want to climb the ranks. If I was in the business world, I'd want to start my own business. I'd want to climb the ladder, be the CEO of some cool company. And so when I was in college, I was kind of a punk about it because I would see things and I'm like, man, that doesn't make any sense. Like, let me help you so we can achieve this together, okay? And so it can kind of make me be more of a go-getter than I should be at times. And so my buddy and I, we were in our finance class, and we were looking up different businesses' visions and missions. And we're that's what we were studying in class, and so we're looking up a bunch of ones on different companies or whatever. And we come across this one, and I'm a firm believer in you have not because you ask not, okay? And so we come across this one, and I'm not gonna publicly shame the name of the business, so I'm going to change the name a little bit, who had a terrible vision and mission, and their name is Partial Foods, if you get it. And so we'll go with that. But their vision is actually pretty cool. It's whole foods, whole people, whole planet. So that's cool. Like, that's what you want to get to, right? That's your end goal. That's your picture. And then here's their mission. Whole Foods Market is a dynamic leader in the quality food business. We're a mission-driven company that aims at Henry, wake up. You know what I'm talking, like, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And so we're looking at this vision and mission, and we're like, dude, this is not working for you. So we emailed them. I emailed, like, the highest email that I could find, and I said, hey, we're going to help you. Your vision and mission is terrible, and we typed it up, and I looked for the email, but I couldn't find it. I wish I could have. And we typed it all up, and we had this perfect plan for them. It was going to be great. I was going to be CEO of Whole Foods in a year, and it was going to be awesome. And then they emailed me back, and it wasn't the CEO or the marketing director or whatever. It was a customer service relations person. And they said, sorry, unfortunately, I can't pass this along because that's above my pay grade. And I said, well, you're lost. Your loss, you know, whatever. Hey, I want to welcome you to Shattering Christian Church. If you're new here or you haven't already, please fill out a connection card that's under the seat in front of you. That way we can get connected with you. We can help you in this journey becoming a better friend of Jesus and sharing his heart with the world. To everybody joining online, for whatever reason you did, we're sure glad that you did. Drop a chat, leave a comment, whatever. We're sure happy to see you soon in person. We'd love for that to happen. We are in week 2 of our series, Protect the Rock. Protect the Rock. Protect the Rock, right? And it comes from the story in Matthew where Jesus and Peter are having this exchange, and Peter's like, hey, Jesus, these people are saying this about you. Is this true? And Jesus says, I don't care what they say. Who do you say I am? Peter says, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, darn right I am. And he said, on that rock, I'm building my church. And so we are a part of that church. If that's what we believe, that Jesus is the source of life and eternal life, we're a part of that church. So we're going through what we're about as Shattering Christian Church. Who we are, what we value, what our vision is, what was last week, right? What our mission is. And today we're going to focus on our mission. Now, this whole thing isn't just to learn about our church. It's not just to read something from a page. It's not just to hear a talk. It's how we can apply this in our lives. What does this mean for me? How can I apply this? So, our mission, to proclaim Jesus as Lord as we engage as family, equip in the faith, and empower for the future. Engage as family because you belong before you behave. Equip in the faith and empower for the future to do more than we ever thought possible. So what does this mission look like in my life? You're asking that. We're going to find out, but first we're going to pray. So God, we're so thankful for the atmosphere that we're able to create, that you're able to create through us, just such a loving and generous and inviting and welcoming church body that you have here, Lord. I just thank you for the ability to open up your word and to worship you and to just praise you and learn from you and learn more about you and just grow closer to you. So as we do dive into your word today, God, I pray that you would teach us and reveal to us things that are new to us, that would draw us closer and closer to your heart. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Soften all of our hearts, every single one of our hearts, because we know that you have a word for us today. God, so open our hearts, our soul, and our minds to your voice, to your whisper. to your gentle love. And we just love and we praise you so much. Amen. Amen. Okay. Here's the deal. So what's the difference between vision and mission? And joke's on you, because there's no difference, and I just get to give the same message 2 weeks in a row. So less work on me, right? No, I'm just kidding. That was actually funny. Only Dana was the only one who laughed, but it's all right. Personal hype, man. Your mission focuses on today. Your vision focuses on tomorrow. I'm going to say that again. Your mission focuses on today. Your vision focuses on tomorrow. So vision is the what or the where you want to go, right? Whole people, whole foods, whole planet. That's where you want to go. That's how. That's what you want to be. Mission is the how. So maybe your vision is to be a mother who raised disciples passionately pursuing Jesus. Okay, how are you going to do that? Or maybe your vision is to be a father who leads his family in the ways of Jesus. Okay, how are you going to go about that? You tracking? Or an employee or a teacher who equips leaders. How are you going to do that? Or a church that exists to become better friends of Jesus and share his heart with the world. How are we going to do that? Vision focuses on tomorrow. Mission focuses on today. Vision is our desired outcome, right? Our desired future position, or mission is our approach to get there. It's kind of like accomplishing short-term dreams and building up momentum to get to your long-term dreams. Does that make sense? So you pay off debt so you can build wealth. So it's the short-term dreams accomplishing the long-term dreams. Mission is the how. And so just like Whole Foods, we could have a completely clear vision, an awesome vision, one that inspires and empowers people to be leaders and to do what they want to do. But if our mission isn't clear, we won't know how to approach that vision, the vision that God's placed on our hearts. So we have to be in tune with the vision that God's given us, yes. Where we want to be, yes. But we also have to be in tune and intentional with the mission that God has given us, corporately, as a church body, and personally in our own lives. Which is why this message is titled, Living Life on Mission. See, having vision without a mission is like a Lego set without instructions. Tracking? You have a picture of what it is, but you have no idea how to get there. Or a piece of furniture from IKEA with 300,000 different parts and no instruction booklet. And all the wives in the room know how that turns out when the man doesn't read the instruction booklet, right? I've broken so many things doing that. But the reality is that Jesus stepped out of the grave. He stepped out of the grave thinking about you for you to live a life of purpose, meaning, and fulfillment, and joy, and life, and abundance, and for you to know our central theme for today, which will be on this next slide, that an intentional life is a missional life. Jesus died and beat death for you to know that. An intentional life is a missional life, free from distracting, meaningless, purposeless actions. Free from all that, but full of impact, full of influence, full of excitement, and encouragement, and direction, and intention. And focus. So proclaiming Jesus as Lord as we engage his family, equip in the faith, and empower for the future. So what does the Bible say about what this mission looks like in my life? How can I apply this? And then how can the Bible teach me about how I can apply this? So we're going to land in Genesis 50. And we're going to read this in light of our central theme. An intentional life is a missional life. An intentional life is a missional life. So Genesis 50 is the last chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It's also in your notes. If you have the paper version, open in. If you've gone to Exodus, just turn a couple pages back. Don't get too freaked out. It's right there. So this is Joseph's last days. So Joseph's obviously getting ready to die, but before we get there, we got to read it in light of Jacob, his father's last days, which were when Jacob gave Joseph his fatherly blessing. And so Jacob prayed this and spoke this over Joseph. And so Joseph is now living his life in light of this. So Jacob says, this is before in chapter 49, I'll just read it to you. He says, hey, may the God of your father help you, Joseph. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above and the blessings of the watery depths below and the blessings of the fertile earth. May my fatherly blessings be on you, surpass the blessings of my ancestors, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills, and may these blessings rest on the head of Joseph. So Joseph has his father's blessing, and that's a big, 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 big deal in Hebrew culture. Because if you have your father's blessing, you can do anything. Like, you can conquer the world. And that's and he's so he's living his life in light of that. So 50 verses 1 through 13 tell the story about it. So Joseph, this is right after Jacob dies, Joseph threw himself on his father and wept. And then he and the Egyptians, remember, because Joseph was an official in Egypt, right? They mourned his death for 70 days. 70 days. And so when this period of mourning was over, Joseph approached Pharaoh and he said, hey, I got to go bury my father in the land of Canaan just like he told me to. And I want to take some people with me and I want to do what he wanted me to do. Will you let me go? And Pharaoh says, yeah, I'll let you go. Joseph says, great, I'm going to return without delay after it's all over. So not only did Pharaoh agree to that request, he sent Joseph with a whole bunch of Pharaoh's officials and senior members of Pharaoh's households, along with everything or all of Joseph's brothers' households. So there's a lot of people going for this. It says a great number of chariots and charioteers accompanied Joseph. And then when they got there, they held a solemn memorial service for 7 days. So they spent 70 days mourning the guy, and then they spent their time traveling there, and then they held a memorial for 7 more days. And then the people of Canaan noticed this. The Canaanites noticed this, and they're like, wow, like, this is crazy. This is so crazy. We've never seen anything like this before, so we're going to name this place after what they're doing. And so Jacob's sons were able to do everything that he commanded them to do. See, so Joseph's father died, and what did he do? Did he just flippantly pass on and move on like nothing had ever happened? Did he deal with it? Did he multitask while he was at it? What did he do? He threw himself on his father and he wept. Threw himself. Joseph gave himself the space to be intentional and focused on what was happening before him. And because of that, he lived determined. He lived determined. So if his long-term dream, if his vision was to dwell in the blessings that his father had given him and that his father had spoken over him and everything that came with that, then his short-term objectives and his mission was to do everything he could and be as intentional and as focused as he could in doing whatever it took to live in light of that vision, right? 70 days. Talk about being intentional. 70 days. Joseph engaged with what was actually important with the time that he had. He engaged. He focused. He took everything else aside and he engaged with what was important for what was in front of him, for the time that he had. And then he went further. He approached Pharaoh boldly and intentionally, right, with defined determination and a fierce focus. And he got after it. And what did Pharaoh do? He not only let him go, but he sent him with a heap of help. His own officials and senior officials of Egypt on top of Joseph's entire household. Like, that's what's up. How many of us struggle with distractions or multitasking? Right? I think everybody in the room. You know what's actually important. You can know what's actually important for the time that you have. That's what engaging looks like to you. Remember, we're asking, what does this mission look like to me? So engaging to you looks like being intentional with the time that you have. Knowing what's important for the time that you have. And then others notice and want that too, right? The Canaanites were like, wow, this is crazy. Like, this guy cares. And they want to be a part of that. So as you engage in the present moment, for the time that you have in front of you, whether it's at your job, or it's at school, or it's with your family, and the people around you, right, whether it is your children or your employees or your siblings, you're free to live focused and determined on what is in front of you. That's what living on mission looks like in your life, to live every day with such divine determination and fierce focus on nurturing as a mother or leading as a father or inspiring as a leader, to live each day that others have no choice but to notice and want in on it. It's contagious. See, if you live wandering and scatterbrained, busy and aimless, nobody wants that, right? That's normal, and that's draining. But Jesus offers a better way to live, one that's abnormal and life-giving. That's what's up. So when you engage by knowing what's important for the time that you have, you're free to invest in those entrusted to you. Next, we're going to look at 14 through 21. And so in this passage of scripture, It says that Joseph, after burying Jacob, he returned to Egypt. He stayed true to his word, and he stayed with, or he returned with everybody who accompanied him. And then Joseph's brothers got afraid, and they're like, man, maybe Joseph isn't actually who he says he is. So they come up with a story, and they come up with this plan, and they step it out step by step, and they're going to go to Joseph, and they're going to say, hey, Dad told us to tell you this before he died. And it's basically, don't kill us, right? So forgive us. And they come up with this elaborate story, and they're terrible storytellers, because Joseph hears it, and he's like, that's not true. But Joseph hears it, and his heart's broken, so he weeps. He's like, man, that's not my heart. They know that's not my heart. And he weeps. And Joseph replies to me, and he said, after they said, we'll be your slaves, we'll do anything, Joseph says, am I God that I can punish you? Am I God? Don't be afraid of me. Just like the song we sung this morning and Linda's meditation. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me here so I could save the lives of many people. So don't be afraid. I'm going to continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Joseph here models a lifestyle of faith by staying true to his word, indeed, right? And speaking truth over his brothers in word. Joseph equips his brothers. He comes alongside them in the faith. All because he knew what was important. He knew what was important for the time that he had. Which was what? To show his brothers the heart of his God. Nothing other than that. Not that God was some vengeful or wrathful person. But that he was loving and compassionate and merciful. That's what Joseph was focused on, to show his brothers the heart of his God. So did Joseph follow some step-by-step process to equip his brothers in this faith and had to follow it to a T to make sure that everything was going right and that they were growing as much as possible, and that they knew exactly the heart of God? No. He modeled the lifestyle, and he just came alongside them. Modeled the lifestyle, and he came alongside them. Because Joseph knew that an intentional life is what? A missional life. An intentional life is a missional life. He's able to invest in those that God had entrusted him to lead. His brothers, who would later become the 11 tribes of Israel. The 11 of the 12. So it's a big deal. He was able to invest in those that God had entrusted him to lead. So what does this mission of equipping look like in our life? It's living a lifestyle of showing others the heart of Jesus. Living a lifestyle of showing others the heart of Jesus. Remember, to become better friends with Jesus and share his heart with the world. So to show each other the heart of Jesus. Not one of anger or bitterness or wrath or disgust, like we said earlier, but of compassion and mercy and love and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness. All of the above. Of intention and mission. And then Joseph says, hey, what the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. And so Joseph spoke kindly to them at a moment when they did not expect that. Equipping is synonymous, big word, $5 word. Equipping equals investment. Equipping equals investment. You're free to invest in the people that God has called you to lead. When you focus on what's actually important, for the time that's in front of you, you're free to invest in the people that God has entrusted you to lead. Where he's called you, when he's called you, how to do it. The most important thing in doing that is reflecting Jesus' heart. As a student in the hallway, or as a single parent, or as a business owner, where you are, reflecting the heart of Jesus. Because Joseph engaged by knowing what was important for the time that he had, he was able to invest and equip those that God had entrusted to him. And then he was able to empower those around them by calling them higher. So 50 verses 22 through 24, it says, Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. And so Joseph lived to the ripe old age of 110. Good work. And he lived to see three generations of descendants of his son Ephraim. And then he said, hey, to his brothers, I'm going to die. But God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He's going to lead you out of it. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He spoke God's promise over him. He said, but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he promised. See, Joseph saw the leaders and his families develop and evolve right in front of his eyes. And he saw them rise up right in front of his eyes. And then he empowered them for the future. He didn't just leave them there. He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to die, period. He said, hey, I'm going to die, but God will be with you, and he's going to take you where he promised to take you, and he's going to give you all that he promised to give you. Come on. So he empowered them for the future. He reaffirmed them in the promises of God, and he gave them the power and the freedom to then walk into those promises. Not just hear them, not just glance at them, but to walk in them and live in them and wake up each day realizing them, that they're theirs. He says, here's the promise that God's given us. Now go live. Go live. Go live in them. He gave them worth, and he gave them value, and he gave them authority, and he gave them ownership. He empowered them. He saw beyond himself into something far greater. He dreamed bigger, he cared deeper, and he saw further. And those around him were able to start from that place. They started from there. Joseph's ceiling was their floor. He said, hey, you can only go up from here. So he empowered them into something greater. And that's our church. That's you. You've been called to see beyond, way further than yourself. You've been called to see way further than yourself, to know that there's something so much bigger, that there's a vision of becoming better friends with Jesus and sharing his heart with the world. Something so much bigger, which you can be a part of by living out your own vision, right? Which we worked on last week. And dedicating yourself to the how. To the how. To the mission. By knowing what's intention. By knowing what's important for the time that you have. And living a missional and intentional life. So what do you need to know? You need to know that how you fulfill your vision of being a godly parent, or an influential leader, or an honoring spouse, whatever it is that God's laid on your heart, it comes from engaging and knowing what's important for the time that you have in front of you. It's not sitting on your phone when your daughter needs to talk to you. It's not being addicted to the office when your family is desperate for your leadership. And it's not checking out when your employees need your guidance. So it comes from engaging in the moment with what's important. It comes from equipping by investing in those God has entrusted you to lead. By saturating yourself and those around you with Christ, community, consistently. Right? Equipping, doing everything you can to create that contagiously healthy culture, which points people to the heart of Jesus. And it comes from empowering by calling those around you higher. By believing in your kids, encouraging your spouse, inspiring your employees. To be who God created them to be. So why is this the mission of the church? Why does this matter? Why is this what God's put on our heart? Just why? Because this is how Jesus lived. Jesus lived an intentional and a missional life with a fierce focus and a divine determination on engaging, equipping, and empowering every single person to fulfill his vision of seeing everybody in the world saved and in a relationship with him. Think about it. He's going. He's on his way. I don't know where he's going, but he's with his disciples. And he says, hey, we have to go to Samaria. We have to. No, you don't. That's miles and miles and miles out of the way. And he says, no, we got to go. Why? Because he knew there was a woman there in Samaria that he would meet at the well, that he would engage in relationship with, just like he has with you. And he would, and he would equip her in the faith that he is the bringer of life. And he would empower her to go and tell other people. He knew that's where she would be. And he walked up to a tree and he saw a little boy named Zacchaeus up there because he wanted to see him over the crowd, right? But he was too short. And he engaged him and he said, hey, Zacchaeus, I know your name, just like he knows yours. And he said, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to empower you. And he leaves his house, and he pays back four times as much to the people that he wronged. That's the mission of the church, because that was the mission of Jesus' life. And he's doing this with you. Nothing will ever stop Jesus from pursuing you. Nothing. Ever. No past failure, no past mistake, no lie, nothing that can happen in the future, no insecurity, nothing ever will stop Jesus from pursuing you. Ever. From engaging in relationship with you, just like he did with the woman at the well, just like Zacchaeus, just like the blind man on the road, just like countless hundreds of others. Never stop him. Never stop him from equipping you with his truth. Never stop him from empowering you to be all that he created you to be. So as it comes up and we close things out, I want you to know how you can live with intention and mission. Living a missional life means being intentional with the life in front of you while also dreaming for the future. Living a missional life is being intentional with the life in front of you while also dreaming about the future. It's often said that you know everything you need to know about a person by looking at the calendar and the bank account. What they value, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to schedule your values in light of your vision. We got to be tactical. We got to be practical. You're going to schedule your values in light of your vision. Does your calendar reflect your vision? Does your calendar reflect your values? You got to ask yourself right now. Think through it. So I'm going to give you an example. Say the church's vision is my vision. Okay, my vision is to become a better friend of Jesus and share his heart with the world. All right. Does my calendar reflect that? What are my values? I better be spending time with Jesus, becoming a better friend of his. Quiet time, prayer, reading the word, right? I better be exercising. I better be showing Jesus that I'm committed to becoming a better friend of his by honoring my body as a temple that he's given me. Making sure my cup is full. I better schedule time to play, rest, and be human so that I can be a human being, not a human doing all the time. And I better throw myself into the calling that he's placed on my life. Preaching, creating and guarding a contagiously healthy culture and equipping and empowering leaders for the future. So think about the vision that you've crafted. Where do you want to end up? What do you want to be? What kind of life do you want to be living tomorrow? Think about the 3 to 4 values, top values and priorities in your life, and list them in order of importance. So if you're a father or mother, you better be filling your cup with time with God and exercise, because you can't pour from an empty cup. You better be scheduling time, undistracted quality time with your spouse. You better be scheduling undistracted quality time with your kids. And then devote yourself to healthily providing for your family. If you're a student, you better devote yourself to quality time with God to have that foundation to go out, and then you better be devoting your time to getting into godly community, coming to youth group, coming to church, going to FCA, doing whatever, so you can be saturated in that environment. And you're devoting your time to studying, whatever, and then sports, whatever, whatever it is that God's laid on your heart. And then, here's the interesting part, you got to make sure your bank account reflects those values too. So Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven or hell. So email Jesus if you're upset. You better be giving 10% of Jesus to Jesus' work in the church. Why? Not because there's a budget, not because there's a need, but because there's a vision. Because God is up to something huge, and you should want to be a part of that. Be a part of the vision. And you better be investing in the future of your family. It doesn't make sense to keep blowing it on meaningless boats 3 years in a row. You could be investing for your kids' college. I don't know. I'm not a dad yet. From using money responsibly and using it as a tool in fulfilling the vision that God's placed in your heart. You have to get practical. Got to get practical. We got to get tactical. In order to live a life that's intentional and missional. So that you can fully engage. Be focused. Live with a fierce focus and a divine determination. So you think I was going to let you off easy, but I'm not. So I'm going to set my timer for a minute. And you're going to think about the top 3 to 4, 5 priorities in your life. Think about them. I've given you examples, and you're going to write them down, you're going to text them to yourself, you're going to write them down in your Bible, and you're going to focus on them. And then you're going to go home, and you're going to schedule them. You're going to change some things up. All right? Starting now. Doesn't have to be the only place that you do that. Sitting with God, hearing from God, listening to God, knowing who He is, who you are, in light of Him and what He's called you to do. It's a lifestyle to be modeled. This last slide is a quote that I love. It might be the one before this, but it's from Stephen Covey, and it says, "Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities." God's given us our priorities. An intentional life is a missional life. So, would you stand with me? We're going to pray. And we're going to go to God in worship, and we're going to be intentional, and we're going to be focused on directing our hearts towards Him in praise. So, God, we're just so thankful for You, how You prioritize us. You love us. You've taken the time to engage with us. No matter what we've done, no matter what's been done to us, no matter what we've done to others, You've taken the time to engage with us. You've taken the time to equip us with the truth that You've spoken over our lives, that we are loved, that You've died for us, that You've come to save us, not to judge us, not to multitask and toss us by the wayside, but You've come to save us and redeem us and restore all that's been lost. And we're so thankful that You've come to empower us to be all that You've created us to be. You have such a vision for our life, Jesus, and we're so thankful for that. Thank You for the mission that You've given us. God, I pray that we can go and we can live this out this week. We can engage with what's important, with what's right in front of us, with what's most important with the time that we have, God. I pray that we can equip each other and those You've entrusted us to lead in the faith and invest in them in the reality of who You are. And we can empower each other to go and be, to dream bigger, to see further, and to care deeper. God, would Your love just be so real and so, gosh, it's so close to us. Jesus, we may not have ever experienced Your love before in our life. We may not have ever turned back, turned away from the things of this world that aren't working, and we may have never turned towards You. So, God, I pray that we would cling to the truth that we've been equipped with in Your word that says, if we pray, seek Your face, and humble ourselves, and turn from our wicked ways, we will find You, and we will find forgiveness and restoration and healing through Your name, Jesus, Your name. God, guide us as we schedule our priorities instead of prioritizing our schedule, and guide us as we give to be a part of the vision that You have for us personally and for us corporately. Holy Spirit, we love You. We thank You for moving in this place. It's Your wonderful and holy, precious name we pray. Amen.
Stood before creation, eternity in Your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to spend. You stood before my failure.
Jesus, those people that you engaged with every single day of your life, what could they say, what could they do but offer their heart completely to you, God? And that's us. So I pray that we can do that with a divine determination and a fierce focus as we live out the vision that you've placed on our lives personally, and as we live out the vision that you've placed on us corporately as a church body to what? Become better friends of you and share your heart with the world, with our world. God, so as your saints, as your children, as your sons and daughters go out this week into the mission field that you've called them to, Lord, would you bless them? Would you keep them? Would you make your face to shine upon them? Would you give them your peace and grant them your grace and favor now and forevermore? Holy Spirit, would your presence go before them, beside them, behind them, and within them as they become better friends of you and share your heart with the world? We love you and we praise you, Jesus, so much. So much. Amen. Hey, if you want to learn more about following Jesus, you want to take a next step in your faith, getting baptized, or if you just need prayer, John and Linda Hutz will be up here up front to offer that for you. So we love you. Let's go.
To